Welcome to Growing Up ATL, where we, the Mayor's ATL Year of the Youth Ambassadors, take the lead in producing and hosting content tailored specifically for the youth by the youth.
Okay, Growing Up ATL, another day, another interview. Who do we got today?
Today, we're going to be interviewing Nicholas Clark.
Oh, from Parks and Recreation. I know Nicholas. We obviously, we work together. I thought the interview with other City of Atlanta officials was really cool. I'm excited about this one because Nicholas actually works with teens and young adults and youth every day as part of his role. Right. So this is someone, we've talked to people who set policy, we've talked to people who are in administrative roles and are practitioners in their field in other ways. Nicholas is with young people day in, day out as part of his career. So I'm really excited to see what comes of that interview and hear more about them. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, they do important work in the city. I'm curious to know some of the programs that they're working with, what's going on in the world of Parks and Rec. I know we had a chance to work with them for our International Day of the Girl activity, so I'm really curious to know more about the Parks and Rec centers. And I think this is going to be a good conversation.
That's right. That's a good point. Remember the Atlanta Girls Empowerment Summit.
Yes.
Right.
Nicholas Clark helped us organize that at the MLK Rec Center. And I know Midnight Basketball is at C.T. Martin. But, yeah, Parks and Recreation are really the lifeblood of our youth programming. So I'm excited. You guys ready?
Yeah. Yes.
You know what you're going to talk about?
Yep. Very excited.
All right. Well, good luck. We'll see you after. Growing Up ATL.
Today we are here with the special guest, Mr. Nicholas Clark, who does important work with the City of Atlanta Department of Parks and Recreation.
Coach Nick, Mr. Nick, okay. Whichever one, I'm cool. Thank you for the compliment on the outfit. I actually wanted to wear something different. I wanted to wear my Outkast sweatshirt in honor of Andre's album.
I respect it, Atlanta.
I just kept it pretty simple and clean and made sure we had the brand represented on the jacket, so try to keep it simple.
So have you been, have you been enjoying the smooth sounds of the new blue sun? What's it called?
Yeah, a new blue sun. I'm actually like it. It's relaxing. I think it's just a different album for a different time. It gives you a chance to kind of vibe and kind of just chill out. So me and my daughter, you know, we're big on like meditation, mindfulness. So it's a perfect soundtrack for that. And then even for her, she listened to it last night going to sleep. So it's a good album. It serves its purpose. I wish we would have some bars, but I'll take whatever I can get.
All right, let's get into it. What's your specific role in Parks and Recreation for Atlanta?
So I serve as the team program director. So obviously all the teen initiatives on behalf of the City of Atlanta Office of Recreation.
Okay, what initially inspired you to work with teens and youth?
Man, where do I begin? What inspired me is when I was a kid, the things that recreation did for me. I grew up in this home with a single mother. My father was there, but it's not as active as I would like for him to be in. But just being involved in that space, I think recreation centers gave me a safe space, but sports kind of got me more into that space. So I knew what it did for me as a kid, so I just wanted to pour back into somebody else. So the beautiful thing, I've been in this career for almost 30 years now. I think next year I'll make 30 years. I kind of got in this space when I was 14 and just locked in. Every job I've ever had has been in recreation in some shape, form, or fashion. So that's kind of my inspiration or my reason for doing it.
Did you grow up in Atlanta?
No, I did not. I was raised in Brooklyn. I love the city. I love what it just embodies. I think especially being an African-American, just seeing so many successful people doing positive things, just kind of inspires you, just the city alone.
You being over everything, and I think there's so many ways to get involved. How can teens our age get involved in Parks and Recreation or just activities in general?
So it's so many ways you can. We have 14 recreation centers. I won't name all 14 right now, but you can visit one of those 14 recreation centers and just sign up for the program. Everything we offer is free. So you can come in and just take advantage of every service we have. And I think one of the greatest things about our program is that we hire about 200 youth every summer, 200 teens every summer. So that's one great thing. By them investing in us, we invest back in them during the summer. Some of the requirements of the program is that an individual must be signed up in the program. They must come 2 to 3 times per week. We don't try to mandate it. We just try to create a safe space, and we encourage you to come 2 to 3 times per week. He or she must submit all their report cards. And we ask for your report cards just to kind of monitor what you're doing. We want to make sure, hey, that we're invested. Hey, if we know you need help in math, how do we get you a tutor? address some of those issues. But then also we want you to report required, because another requirement is you have to attend the program at least 80%. You have to attend school at least 80% of the school year. Just looking at it from old school method, I was told when I was in college, you can get a C just by going to class. And I think sometimes just showing up, making sure these youth are present in their schools, that's a good thing. But then the last thing is making sure that they do 100 volunteer hours. Because again, we're trying to get our youth to get in the mindset of it's not about you. Because I think sometimes young people just only think about their world. And we're looking at how do you help others through this process. So again, by them doing those things, they'll be eligible for some employment, whether it be in a rec center, the aquatics department, in our main office, just kind of anywhere they want to be. We'll try to assist with that process.
Now, you mentioned some programs and experiences. Do you have one that you're most proud of?
I think the program I'm most proud of, I'm going to say this because I know it's going to be heard. I love all the programs. I think all of them are phenomenal. The Boys Academy is probably the newest one that's just kind of near and dear to my heart, because I think we created something this summer where we created a safe place for young men. We address kind of a lot of things, whether it be emotional intelligence, yoga, just conflict resolution, automotive, film production, financial literacy. So we covered a lot of things with those young men. And I think for me, I'm just in a space to where I love pouring into young men, because I think sometimes we don't have guidance and we need that level of guidance, because I was that young man. So I think that's probably why that program resonates most with me, because I needed that program as a young man. I needed someone who can see value in me, someone who can teach me how to be a man, someone who can just teach me about vulnerability, accountability. So it's so many things. So that's probably my favorite one right now. But I love all the services that we do offer, because again, through our services, we try to offer a wide range of programs that kind of can touch everything that a young person may encounter during this journey.
You have a daughter, and I want to say recently we had the Year of the Girl Summit. What was it like to be a part of that?
Let me say this.
Hold on.
Who?
We are going to give proper recognition. Thank you so much, Nick, for helping to incorporate the Atlanta Teen Leaders, the Girls Academy. It was called the inaugural Atlanta Girls Empowerment Summit.
Okay, my apologies.
And Parks and Recreation, through Nicholas's program, helped to make sure that more than half the girls, and Kayla, you participated.
I did.
In the Girls Summit. So I definitely want to keep this conversation going, but I wanted to pause and say, Nicholas, thank you so much for your help with organizing the Atlanta Girls Empowerment Summit on behalf of Parks and Recreation. And Kayla was actually a participant.
I know that I appreciate it, and there are so many other girls that I met that appreciate it as well.
Well, thank you for inviting us. We're always honored to work with you guys. Janine always makes it easy and seamless, but anything, honestly, to help girls, I'm all with it, too, because I'm a girl dad. I know you said I have a daughter. Let me just say I got two daughters in case they hear this, for Peyton and Amari, so I have to make sure I cover both of them.
Yes, one will say, shout them both out.
You just said Amari, you didn't save me. But with me having daughters, I love any girls empowerment program. I love, because we, again, that's another piece that we launched two summers ago. We had an all-girls empowerment academy, so the Atlanta Teen Leaders Girls Empowerment Academy. So we did programming for young women, along the same lines of the Boys Academy, but just some things catered strictly to women. One beautiful thing we did, we made all sure that all the facilitators were female facilitators. But then we had a male come in, just have conversations from a male's perspective too, so that was another piece. But our program was led by women, whether it be yoga, financial literacy, film production, etiquette, fashion, makeup and hair design. So those things were led by women.
Nicholas, you've mentioned that you've been in Atlanta since you were 18.
Yes.
What are you seeing that may be different as far as issues facing young people now that you may not have been facing, or what's similar? And how does that help you connect with the teens that you work with in Parks and Recreation?
I'm going to say, issues that I'm facing now, I think a lot of these young people are just placed into some real situations too young. Mm-hmm. I think we're looking at spaces now where we have young people that are having to just step up and be adults at a young age. And I think that's sometimes the hardest thing to explain to people who just don't work in this space. Because you have young people that are, me and Travis were just doing something the other day. I was telling them I have a kid, one of my kids like 8 or 9. armed robbery, just trying to survive. I mean, so you're talking about an 8-year-old kid having to rob, steal, and your parents condone it because it's one of those spaces to where they've kind of just looked at it and said, you have to go find your way.
And 8 years old, that's third grade.
Yeah.
Wow.
And even with teenagers, I mean, it gets rougher because you have teenagers that are homeless, you know, that are just committing crimes just to eat. You know what I mean? So it's a rough place. I think that's one of the trends that I'm seeing different now than when I was a kid. Like, I think you still had, and this is not a shot at parents by no means. I just think you had parents that were more hands-on. I think when I grew up as a kid, my mother, it wasn't really an option. Certain things, hey, you go into that rec center. You're going to be at that rec center because I need you to be there. And if I left that rec center before she told me to leave, that was consequences. And I think now parents are pulled in so many different dynamics. And I think my grandmother says all the time, she said, parents now don't want to really want to be parents. And I think we have to get parents to be more invested in that space because, again, it takes a village. Yeah. But some of these kids, they're left to fend for themselves.
You know, I think, and everybody knows I'm an educator working in government, I think technology has a lot to do with that. When I was growing up, and I'm probably the oldest person at the table.
You ain't got me beat.
I don't have you beat.
You ain't got me beat.
When I was growing up, we had a house phone.
Yeah.
Right? We listened to music out loud. We had a stereo in the living room. So we listened to the music that our parents were listening to. When we were in the car, whatever our parents were listening to as they were driving, we were all listening to the same thing. Phone calls that came in, they came in through the house phone. So my mom knew who I was talking to, and whether she was at work or not, like there was a central funnel where all communication and media came through.
Yes.
We didn't have DVRs and, you know, streaming videos and stuff like that. So they knew what we were watching because we were watching it together.
Yeah.
So I think we definitely, and I appreciate you giving parents grace, we have to realize that parenting in the 21st century with all this technology looks a little differently.
Yes.
We have to, as you were saying, your mom would say, hey, you go into this rec center, you stay at that rec center. If the rec center is sending you information, it may just be on your phone.
Yeah.
And your mom, your parents may not have any information, right? So I think what we have to do is maybe help our parents be 21st century parents. And understanding that the information is not always going to flow through them because we can get directly to the student. But as we can get directly to the student, folks who don't have their best interests in mind can also get directly to them. So we got to figure that out.
Yeah. And I think I always say this too. To truly help a kid, you have to help their parent.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you're looking at parenting now, even for me as a parent, I think my mother, it was simpler for her to parent. Because the game was just very simple. Like you think when you introduce things like social media, it changes the dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as parents, you have to adapt to this game. If you don't adapt, you're going to be left behind.
Yeah.
And if we don't adapt, our kids are exposed to so many things. Like my daughter can do so many things on her computer. I'm like, okay, I got to learn this because she can do things that I don't even know anything about.
She can connect with anyone in the world from a device, and that can be scary.
And then even when we look at social media too, social media sometimes just really messed up our kids. And even like me talking to the girls at the Girls Academy, you're seeing some of these ladies portraying certain images. That's not a lady, man. You can't move that way. You got to respect yourself and carry yourself in a certain manner. So it's big on, like, even with these teens now, not allowing that imposter syndrome to show up because they're trying to be something that they see on social media, whether it be the young men or the young women. Be authentically who you are. Create your values and realize that you're a brand. And people are going to see you how you see yourself. If you carry your brand in a certain manner, they're going to treat you in a certain manner. So allowing that social media space to get in there, because I think social media has messed so many of our kids up and just kind of got them in a unique space. Because even you referenced when we were growing up, the shows we watched were pretty clean shows. Like, I mean, now it's like, I can't even say it on here, but this is too much.
We had to sneak to watch stuff we weren't supposed to.
And then you want to cut it off or mom come in like, let me play like I'm asleep. Because I'm not supposed to be watching this. Now, your kid can turn on social media and see God knows what.
Right.
And you're like, wow. So it's like parenting against that. And so many other factors and so many other things, I think. But as a parent, I just try to overly emphasize to my children, like, be you. Be authentically you. If you do something, do it because you wanted to do that, not because somebody else made me do that. No, stand on it.
I want to talk about that for a second because I never had my father in my life, unfortunately. And for someone like you, you said you like to be called that change maker for so many young boys and girls.
I appreciate it. I love it. I don't take someone's experience lightly. I think sometimes we take an encounter with someone very lightly. I try not to because, again, I know what somebody did for me. So I value that role, and I think I truly love it because, again, I want to help people, and I know what it did for me. So like you said, even that coach, it's everything. Because I was referring back to Travis. I was meeting him the other day, and we were just talking about how I, as a grown man, I'm in a different space. But I had expectations of people, of coaches, that I never communicated to them. But I wanted them to be my everything, but I never said to them that you were my everything. And so now as a grown man, I see that young man in somebody else, or maybe even you, I may say, okay, he can't tell me what I mean to him, but I know what I mean to him because he keeps showing up and putting himself in my presence, or we keep interacting. It's a reason why. So I value it. I appreciate it. And again, I don't take it lightly. I do not take it lightly. Even when my kids, and I think somebody texts me this morning, I'm always accessible. I don't care what my role is. I try to always be accessible. And I think that's probably one of the hardest things too, because even working with young people, the higher you go up, it removes you away from your why. And what I mean by my why is the reason why I got into this space, to help young people. Because I can't touch them as much as I want to, because I'm not in the building, I'm overseeing the initiatives or the services that they're receiving. But the beautiful thing is, you have someone up top who truly understands and can truly provide services that young people need and that are meaningful to young people. So I love that part of my role.
Well, we appreciate that. I know I do. I know I've seen what Parks and Recreation has done for me, and I know there are so many other youth in the city who also appreciate it. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure.
I think I already know this, but who's your favorite artist in Atlanta?
You can ask me, but I'm going to say it a million times. Andre. Andre.
Yeah.
Andre. Outkast. All day. 24/7.
What's your favorite place to eat? Here. Specific.
Man, it changes. Because I'm a seafood guy. But it's hard to find good seafood. I'm going to say,
your go-to, you've got a dietary challenge starting, you know, the next day. What's the anything you want to eat in Atlanta? One meal. What would it be?
I'm gonna tell you. I gotta give you two though.
Okay.
I gotta give you
okay.
two.
Okay.
So I'm gonna give you my two. Some fried chicken from Busy Bee's on the right day, man.
And some Busy
cabbage.
Bees.
Yeah, some fried chicken and some cabbage and a nice sweet tea. I'm in the game. If I'm doing my seafood. Shout out to Atlanta Fish House on Camilton Road. That's the, man, that jumbo shrimp platter is amazing. I can only eat about five of them. That's how big the shrimp are. So those two will be my favorite spots.
Now, we're not going to ask you what the good day is at Busy Bee, because we know Busy Bee, the seating is limited. We don't want everybody to rush there, but we will ask you off air. Busy Bee is also my favorite, but I get the fish plate. We've been asking a lot of our guests this. Do you have what's your wing order?
Man, depending on the day, some days it can be Light Mile, Camilton Road. That's the, man, that jumbo shrimp platter is amazing. I can only eat about five of them. That's how big the shrimp are. So those two will be my favorite spots.
Now, we're not going to ask you what the good day is at Busy Bee, because we know Busy Bee, the seating is limited. We don't want everybody to rush there, but we will ask you off air. Busy Bee is also my favorite, but I get the fish plate.
Okay. See, I didn't try the fish. I'm a fried chicken man.
I'm a fried chicken. Fried chicken person too.
I want to ask you this. What's one inspirational message or quote that you would give to young people listening before we end off?
Oh, man. Oh, an inspirational message or keep it simple. Just truly just be you. Be you, because I think a lot of times young people, again, they struggle in that space of being themselves. Be you. You're enough. We need you. So be yourself. You're welcome.
We appreciate having you, and we hope to have you back. Thank you so much for being on Growing Up ATL.
And everyone can follow ATL Year of the Youth on social media and www.atlyearoftheyouth.com for the Parks and Recreation link as well. Thank you, Coach.
Thank you.
Wow, that was a good interview.
It was. He was really, really inspirational. I feel like he's really passionate about what he does.
Nicholas Clark, you guys are getting better and better with each interview. Yeah. You really are. And we're finding more and more out about all of these change makers.
I love the fact he knows and understands his position as a father figure to so many young boys and girls, and the seriousness he takes for being a role model.
I didn't expect that. Powerful question that you asked, Ion. That was really great.
Yeah, it was.
Thank you.
That was my favorite part of the interview, honestly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The question and the answer.
So time and time again, as you all are interviewing more and more impactful Atlantans, I'm starting to get a feel for why our city is so special.
Yeah. One thing I also have noticed with everybody we interviewed, everybody has great fashion sense. Something that I kind of like to see, how we have such a good culture here in Atlanta.
Probably could have talked all day, right?
Yeah.
About culture in Atlanta, and even someone who grew up outside of Atlanta. I think he said he grew up in Brunswick, Georgia, which is just a few hours from here. You can tell that, like, Atlanta, just like with the Courtney English interview, like, when people move here and they live here, like, the city just becomes part of your soul, and that servant leadership is really amazing and powerful to watch and hear about.
Yeah, you can always tell when people are speaking from the heart and when they're working from passion, because clearly we could have just let him go on and on talking about all the things that he's done and is doing. Clearly he's very passionate about it. So that was something that I felt listening to the interview as well. So good job to you all.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Great job, guys. And as a reminder, the Parks and Recreation programming will be linked on the Mayor's ATL Year of the Youth website. So looking forward to more activations with Parks and Recreation.
Yeah, right. ATLYearOfTheYouth.com.
What was it?
ATLYearOfTheYouth.com.
Yes, and that's a wrap. All right, Growing Up ATL. Great job.
This has been another episode of Growing Up ATL, a podcast created by your mayor's ATL Year of the Youth ambassadors. Visit us at atlyearoftheyouth.com or follow us on Instagram at ATL Year of the Youth for more information.